Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025 The Game. It will be official on Monday when Texas and Oklahoma send letters to the Big 12, saying, Big 8, saying we are leaving the conference. At that point, and by at that point, I really mean at this point, on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, it really becomes every man for himself. In fact, Kansas is already talking to the Big 10 about possibly joining that conference. We had Corey Curtis on earlier today. He said he thinks the Big Ten would go with TCU over Baylor because TCU is in Dallas. Baylor's in Waco. I think that's debatable. But we put together, we filled out the rest of the conferences, adding two teams to the Big Ten and the ACC and four teams to the Pac-12. Let's say Baylor and Kansas go to the Big Ten.
Okay.
So that I think we can agree with. TCU, Oklahoma State, Houston, and Kansas State to the Pac-12, though you made the argument for, who was it? Iowa State over Houston?
I made the argument for, well, I had Houston possibly going to the Pac-12. I had Iowa State, K-State, Oklahoma State, and Houston, I believe.
Okay. Then we have West Virginia in the ACC, and I put Notre Dame in there because I think Notre Dame's going. I think that this is either do it or get left behind. And so Notre Dame to the ACC, but that's a different discussion for a different day. I think Connecticut could probably be the next team that rolls into the ACC. They still, though, could, in theory, have a choice. They could add Iowa State, but I'm not sure they would. Cincinnati.
You could also potentially see, and if we're not going to dig into other conferences, and let's assume that Notre Dame is sticking with no conference, I could possibly see the ACC wanting to tap into a Texas market and acquiring Texas Tech.
No, the ACC is not doing Lubbock. That's not really a Texas market. Like, that's like how Mississippi State would never, if we started the SEC over again, Mississippi State's not getting in.
Probably not.
Vanderbilt's not getting in. But because they were founding members, they're in no matter what. And that's the exercise I want to do, which is now that we'll have 12 of 64 get into the playoff every year. I don't know about the little guys getting in anymore with a 12-team playoff if we have four super conferences. How many college football programs are now meaningless if we go to these four super conference alignment conferences? So you stop me at each team you think is irrelevant.
Okay.
In the SEC, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, Oklahoma, Texas, Tennessee, Missouri, Kentucky. Mm. So you stop me in Missouri?
Not a hard stop.
Kentucky.
I think that every team in the SEC has some sort of national relevancy. And other than Vanderbilt.
Kentucky.
Kentucky is going to be very good this year.
Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State,
Vanderbilt's an
Ole Miss. Ole Miss.
What is your beef with Ole Miss?
They don't matter anymore.
Why not?
Because they are not going to be able to compete with Alabama, Auburn, Texas. They're not going
to be able to compete. They will be able to compete with Auburn. Auburn will not be good this year.
They will not be able. I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about in general. Ole Miss will never be able to build a program that is anywhere near third in the Southeastern Conference in this 16-team league. They will never have a program unless they cheat through their rear ends like they did with what's-his-name, Hugh Freeze, and even then, I think they maybe got there once. Mississippi State, with Dan Mullen as their coach in their history, got there once, and they got housed in an Orange Bowl by Georgia Tech. Sorry, you don't count. Here's where I think it, South Carolina, Arkansas, Here's where I think it's interesting. Because I think we'll all agree. Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, Oklahoma.
Texas.
Texas, LSU.
Fair.
A&M and Tennessee.
A&M, yes. A&M.
You think they're going to finish third in the SEC?
Yes.
Remember, you can't finish fourth in the SEC and make a 12-team playoff.
A&M was one of my picks. I picked Texas A&M possibly upsetting Alabama this year in the regular season. Do not look at me like that. What do you know about SEC football?
I had a college coach tell me this week, no chance A&M beats Alabama.
Okay. I think that A&M is an easy number two in the SEC West this year.
So I'm going to say this. long term, this may literally be bias on my part. I'm going to count Tennessee as relevant. But Missouri, Kentucky.
You're going to count Tennessee as relevant, not Texas A&M?
May I finish?
Sorry.
Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, South Carolina, and Arkansas are no longer relevant at all in college football. They have no shot of being third in the SEC at any point.
Okay.
Tennessee, it's getting questionable. All right, here we go. Big Ten. Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nebraska.
Okay.
You think Nebraska got a shot to regain relevance?
Yeah.
I don't think they've been relevant in your lifetime, but right before your lifetime, they were very relevant.
Yeah, I think that they have the potential.
Purdue?
No.
See ya. Iowa.
That's a tough one. I'm going to go by lean no.
Okay. Minnesota?
Yes.
Michigan State?
No. Sorry, Joe.
I got to say this about Michigan State. Joe's a big Michigan State fan.
I know.
I got to say this about Michigan State. Like, they were a decent program 5 years ago. They stink now.
Yeah, they're not great. They really stink. It's those ugly jerseys.
Maryland?
No.
Indiana?
No.
Illinois?
No.
Northwestern?
No.
Rutgers?
No. I don't know why I hesitated on that. No.
Baylor?
Yes.
Okay, I would agree with you. Kansas?
No.
Okay, so that takes us to, I'm going to have to count all these up in a little bit. Oregon?
Yes.
USC?
Yeah.
Arizona State?
Yeah, no.
I want to say yes, but I don't think I can ever remember them mattering in my lifetime. Like, I can argue that Rutgers has mattered more in my lifetime than Arizona State.
Yeah, I think in the Pac-12, Arizona State is like a relevant team, but in the national conversation, I don't think that Arizona State would be up there.
Arizona?
No.
Colorado?
No.
Utah?
Yeah, I'll say yes.
UCLA?
No.
That is some history right there, UCLA.
Well, I mean, are we talking this, like forever and always?
I'm talking about like the next 10 years.
Okay, then yes. And then I'll give UCLA.
No, I'm going to say no. I stand by no. Now, there is somebody that once sat in your seat who, you know, had a little problem with that, played a national championship game at UCLA, but he ain't here no more. Oregon State?
No.
Washington?
No.
Washington?
Yeah.
I think Washington. Washington State?
No.
Cal?
No.
Stanford?
No.
I agree. TCU?
Yeah.
Oklahoma State?
Yeah.
Houston?
Yes.
Kansas State?
No.
I agree with you on Houston. I think if Houston gets into the Pac-12, I think they got a shot.
I do too. I am really high on some AAC teams. I think Memphis is a really good team. I think Houston is a really good team. Eastern Carolina.
Do you mean good team or good program? Because I'm talking about program here. I'm not talking about team.
Good program.
Okay.
Good program. Eastern Carolina, even in the AAC.
I think if you end up outside of these 64, you have no chance of mattering. So, like, I don't think that Eastern Carolina has a chance of mattering when you're outside of these 64.
Well, what are we talking about mattering? Are we talking about national championship possibilities? Or are we talking about TV deals?
Like a chance to make it to the playoff.
Well, I don't think there is any team outside of the current Power Five that has a
that's my point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we're only going
Cincinnati,
over the East.
Yeah, Memphis maybe, but like, I mean, what are we going to call it, Power Four now?
Probably, yeah. Honestly. Boston College?
No.
Clemson?
Yes.
Florida State?
Yeah.
Louisville?
Yeah.
Louisville's iffy. I mean, I'll say yes because the ACC, again, if you got to finish third in a conference, this is the easiest one to be in.
Yeah, I think Louisville has a legitimate shot at being up there.
NC State?
No.
Syracuse?
No.
Wake?
No.
Duke?
No.
Georgia Tech?
No.
Georgia Tech's interesting. I mean, they've won a national title. I think it was like 1990 they won a national title, but I mean, I think Georgia Tech sucks.
Just the sample size of Georgia Tech, I lean no.
Miami?
Yes.
UNC?
Yes.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is iffy. I lean yes, actually.
Virginia?
No.
Virginia Tech?
Yes.
West Virginia?
Yeah. Yeah.
Notre Dame?
Yes.
Okay. So we've taken out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31 out of 64 teams. Then you take out the rest of college football. So now basically for the next decade, as the rules are written, literally only 30 teams matter at all in college football.
And that is also subject to change. Because we've seen college football dynasties, but we've also seen college football teams be or programs be relevant for like 2 years at a time.
Sure. Oregon, I think, is an example of a program that has built itself into relevancy. Mm-hmm. Utah.
Yes.
You know, was in the Mountain West a handful of years ago. But I look at this and I just think, man, I just think this is bad for college football. I really do. I think it's bad for college football.
But the way it stands now, how many teams really matter under that same logic?
So Chris Massaro, the MTSU athletic director, said to me one time that he and his son were talking, and he said, you know, if we had, talking about MTSU, mm-hmm. if we had the New England Patriots, could we get into the mix of a four-team playoff? And it's interesting, right? Like if MTSU wins every game and just dominates, mm-hmm. they probably can't get into a 14 playoff.
No.
And Chris said to me that he has like old Sports Illustrateds he kept as a kid. And the top 25 poll had come out. Mm-hmm. And guess who was at the top of the top 25 poll? Alabama, Ohio State, LSU, Oregon, Texas. You know, it's like we sit here and we talk about, you know, these schools about, oh, well, what about this one getting in? I think Utah is the example of how you can make yourself relevant. But then again, is the Pac-12 going to be more relevant or less relevant under this kind of situation, this kind of circumstance? That's a big question that I have about all of this. And we will get to those questions. I will get to my questions and your phones. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. But I've got five questions about college football with the new, what it looks like is inevitable. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Stillman and Company, we are live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Let me tell all the fine folks out there, do not miss the first ever Smashville Summer Spectacular presented by Lee Company, featuring something for everyone in the family today through Sunday. Preds giveaways, ice making seminars, job fair, Nashville locker room, sidewalk sale, photos with the King Clancy Award, and then more, and the Norris Trophy are all available. It's a free event plus enter to win lower level half season tickets to attend any event in person. To be eligible, visit nationalpredators.com/spectacular for full event details. This is a weekend you do not want to miss. Snellman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, as of late, I guess everybody could attest to the conference hasn't been what it used to be. And you know, I guess from the two programs, the backlash that, you know, the Big 12 constantly gets from, hey, you know, Big 12 is a joke. When it comes to always making the college playoffs and saying that, hey, it's an easier path when it comes to trying to make the college playoffs. So I think it's just good for football. I know for the longest, you know, people continuously say that Oklahoma and Texas can't compete with the SEC, and SEC is the best conference when it comes to college football, not to exclude the Big Ten. But I think it's good. I don't know what Texas A&M feels about that. I think they really enjoyed being the only conference, the only team from Texas that was in the SEC. But maybe we can possibly renew that rivalry.
There you go. That was Michael Griffin, former Titan safety, former Texas Longhorn, on Darren, Donick, and Chase earlier today. I like Michael Griffin. I'll tell you why. Because I used to rip on him when he played for the Titans. His last year was my first year on the air here, and he sucked. You know, he was so done, and he kind of always sucked, but he really sucked then, and he didn't take it personally. You know, he and I follow each other on Twitter and all kinds of stuff.
I'm glad that it's civil.
So I'm glad for Griff's sake, you know. So I've got five big questions about college football, and I promise we'll get to your phones. These are what I think, now that we know Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC, and we know that there's going to be a 12-team playoff, and we know that there's going to be four super conferences, then we think they're all going to add to 16. these are the biggest questions I have now going forward. We start at the top with number one.
Number one.
Is this what has to happen in order for Notre Dame to finally join the ACC? Because outside of a global pandemic for 1 year, Notre Dame has always held strong and firm in their decision to be independent. But let's be honest. Is anyone going to care about Notre Dame if they play a really weird, kind of crazy schedule of these random teams and it's but there's not a conference that they're in? And if Notre Dame can't get into the playoff because they're not in a conference and this is how we're going to do everything, I don't understand. I don't know. I think Notre Dame may end up joining the ACC after all of this is said and done.
Why?
Because I just don't think that they can make the money as an independent. I just don't, and I think the ACC will force their hand, or the Big Ten will offer them a great, you know, a big chunk of the pie in order to get them to join.
I think that's more of an NBC question than it is a Notre Dame question, because if NBC continues to write checks to Notre Dame, they will stay independent.
That takes us to number two.
Number two.
Does the group of five get a shot in a 12-team playoff? Or now group of six, because we can put the Big 12 in the group of six, or whatever's left
of
it.
We can put Big 12, you know.
Yeah, whatever it disseminates into. Is group five going to get a shot? Because one of the things they argued when they talked about a 12-team playoff was that the group of five, the UCFs, the Cincinnatis, the Little Brothers, that they'd get a shot. And now I have a hard time believing that if it's down to Cincinnati or a fourth-place SEC Georgia, I still have a hard time seeing Cincinnati get in over that fourth-place Georgia. In the ACC, it could be third-place Florida State. In the Big Ten, it could be fourth-place. Then again, there's really nobody out there that's super sexy, but it could be one of these teams that you could argue, you know what, third-place Utah in the Pac-12, maybe they get a shot. I have a hard time seeing the little guy get into this 12-team playoff now that we know there's going to be four super conferences.
I'm still not convinced. And I know that the whole landscape of college football is going to completely change. But if you look at this past season, you have to think that Cincinnati would be an easy bid with a 12-team playoff. So you don't think so?
No, I just wonder, like, okay, now would we look at Georgia's record? Like A&M and Florida last year.
Uh-huh.
Would we look at them differently now? Would we add in another team? Because, well, you know, Georgia lost three games this year, but it was to Florida in overtime. Mm-hmm. It was to Alabama and to Oklahoma.
But they would continue to play those same teams. Are you saying hypothetically?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's still tough because you still have that strength of schedule question.
And the strength of schedule only gets better for these SEC teams as opposed to the group of five teams.
But are you going to look at an undefeated, let's say, UCF and say of the top 12 college football teams, 12 college football teams, you went undefeated and you don't matter?
That's the question.
I don't know. I mean, if you look at Texas, Texas is not a very good football team where it stands. I mean, Sark might change those things. Their road ahead only gets more difficult. If Texas can't get in the college football playoff, let's say, let's apply the 12-game logic to 2020, Texas would not have been in the Big 12. If Texas can't get in the Big 12 with 12 teams, they're not getting in the SEC.
10 teams.
What?
There's 10 teams in the Big 12.
With the 12-team playoff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
If they can't get in with the 12-team playoff, then how are they going to get in the SEC?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand the strength of schedule question, but it's like, I understand that Texas is Texas, but it gets to a certain point when you have to look at Texas not being a dominant program. You can no longer call them a strong opponent.
That takes us to number three.
Number three.
Who gets left in the cold? Paging, Connecticut. The Big East back in the day, Elijah, you and I were talking about this. When I was in college at Louisville, the basketball in that conference was second to none. There'd be a week where Louisville would play Pittsburgh on Saturday, and then they welcome in Kimball Walker in Connecticut, who ended up making the Final Four on Monday, and then they'd go on the road to Syracuse on Wednesday, and then they'd play Pittsburgh or a really, really solid Georgetown program on a Saturday. It was unbelievable. Syracuse, those days are over. Those days are over because for Connecticut, because they're in the Big East Basketball Conference. Because they got left in the cold. Everybody else got picked up. Connecticut was in the AAC, didn't work for them. They got left in the cold last time. Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, TCU, Texas Tech, West Virginia. Who gets left in the cold this time? I think you and I have assumed Texas Tech, see ya.
Unless there is a conference that values Texas Tech or another team from the Big 12 over an AAC team.
I don't see them valuing Lubbock, Texas over Houston.
I don't either, but I'm saying that could be a possibility. And then as a whole, the AAC is left in the cold. Because I'm sure they're looking at this all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, the Memphises, the UCFs, and the Houstons of the AAC, hoping that this is their opportunity to get into a Power 5, I guess now Power 4 conference. But there is a possibility that one of these Big 12 schools is prioritized over an AAC school.
Takes us to number 4.
Number 4.
What happens to Longhorn Network? Remember, that was kind of the deal. It sent A&M to the SEC and the Big 12. They saved their bacon by adding the Longhorn Network. I can't imagine the SEC is going to let Texas keep all that extra money. I can't see them doing it. The Big 12 did it because they don't have a conference without Texas, as next week is going to prove to all of us. But the SEC does have a conference without Texas. And if we're talking about who's better here, Texas is out kicking its coverage by going to the SEC than the SEC is by adding Texas. So what happens to the Longhorn Network? Do they add that revenue in and chop it up 16 different ways? I don't know. Do they get rid of it because nobody cares and make it all digital on ESPN Plus? I don't know. But something is going to happen to the Longhorn Network.
I do want to know what the success of the Longhorn Network has been.
I think it's been pretty bad.
That's kind of what I think. So I almost feel like ESPN, and this is completely speculation, ESPN is looking at this as like, thank goodness, this is a reason for us to just go ahead and absorb the Longhorn Network. Like you said, we could put it on ESPN Plus if you really care that much about an old Texas football game and you want to go back and watch it on demand. That's totally fine. I just cannot imagine that there are that many people out there that care about random Texas sports.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot like the NBC Sports Network where like they're just getting rid of it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
They're
and all of the sports are going to be on Peacock. I think you could probably see that. Chase said earlier on Darren Donick and Chase that like the SEC would be like, okay, yeah, no, you can keep it. That's fine. It's one of our networks. And I hear that. I just don't see the other SEC schools being cool with that.
And that takes us to our fifth and final question.
Number 5.
Is anyone going to pay attention to the Pac-12 now? They get an automatic qualifier by winning the conference, so that's good. But their games are still going to be played at midnight. And I don't know about you, I'm not sure I'm going to have an appetite after a whole Saturday of watching games, which will include Alabama versus Texas or Oklahoma versus Georgia, to add to the SEC schedule we already have now. And then there's a big ACC game that's going to be played, like a Notre Dame versus Clemson or a West Virginia versus Florida State. And in the Big Ten, I've got Ohio State, and that's probably not going to change much. But I still wonder, is the Pac-12 going to only get one team in every year because at the end of the day, nobody watches the Pac-12? Or will the four extra teams with more central time zones, Oklahoma State, TCU, Houston, Kansas State, will that get more people to watch?
Well, viewership doesn't dictate who gets into the playoffs.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
You want to tell me if Oregon goes undefeated, they don't get into the playoffs because nobody watches
No, but I want to tell you that if it comes between Baylor, TCU, and Ohio State, Ohio State gets in. If it comes between...
Well, yeah, because Ohio State plays better teams.
They didn't in 2011, or not 2014, when Ohio State got in. Ohio State had a terrible strength schedule. They got in. They lost to Virginia Tech, and they got in. There was no argument for putting Ohio State into the playoff in 2014 other than the fact that it was Ohio State. And they argued, you know what? Ohio State won their conference championship. That matters to us. Conference championship matters. Flash forward 2018, Alabama didn't even win the SEC West, and they got into the playoff. You know why?
Because it's Alabama.
TV viewership does matter. There is an inherent bias. When you put 14 people in one room and you say, okay, you guys decide who gets in, you guys decide who gets out, it is the definition of subjectivity. And the Pac-12 has been the brunt of subjectivity for years. And I, and so has kind of the Big 12. The Big 12 added a championship game because of it. Like, I would argue that this thing is maybe good for the Pac-12 because they'll for sure get a team in, but it also might be bad.
And I feel like it, on the other side, it could be a really good thing for the Pac-12 because there's more teams, there's more fan bases, there's more people who care about the conference.
Yes, I could agree with that. 615-737-1025. I see your phones. I see you waiting. We're right to you next on this. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman & Company. Plus, I do have a Preds thought that I want to get to as well, which we will do. 615-737-1025. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I absolutely love my friends at Hiller. They do fantastic work at my home, and I promise you, they can do great work at your home. I know this because I've used Hiller now for 3 years. Hiller is celebrating the home of the free all July long with special deals for customers. Get your free grilling must-haves when you make your home improvements, like a free Yeti Tundra cooler with the purchase of a new tankless water heater, free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of a new whole home generator, or that same free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of select new HVAC systems. Their work is backed by the Happy You'll Be or the service is free guarantee. These deals are only happening in July, so customers should call as soon as possible. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, my guys, proud supporters of the Preds and the Tennessee Volunteers. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It is your day. So to the phones we go here on Stillman & Company. Trace is up next. Thank you for waiting patiently. Go ahead, Trace.
Hey, I just think you got to be careful with the who's relevant and who's not. As far, I know we're talking about football, but it's still conference realignment, so you have to be careful with that. You said Arkansas is not relevant. I mean, you can make that argument. You can make that argument for football very easily in the last 7 years with two coaches. But before that, they were fifth in the nation, played in the Sugar Bowl against Ohio State to a close game, twice won the SEC West. So, and in other sports, they won twice as many conference titles this year than any other school in every other sport.
They won 10 conference
titles. They won. They're the last team left standing in the from the SEC in the March Madness. So you got to be careful with who's relevant and who's not when you include all the others.
So I would argue, and I appreciate your call, I would argue this is the same as saying, like, you know, you can't say that's a bad sports city because they really support their MLS team. Like, you know, hey, Connecticut's the best women's basketball program in the history of women's basketball. It did them no favors when the Big East broke up. I'm sorry. That doesn't matter. Arkansas is irrelevant. Arkansas has been irrelevant for my entire lifetime, except for like 1 month when Bobby Petrino was their coach before he had an accident on his motorcycle with his 24-year-old mistress. Like, that's it. I mean, you grew up in the SEC. You went to an SEC West school. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most relevant, with 10 being Alabama, or 10 being, honestly, Texas, who can create a big change, what's Arkansas? 3? 2?
Under 5. So I'll give Arkansas the BOD. Give me a 4.
I'd put Arkansas on the same level as Vanderbilt.
Arkansas is the Vanderbilt of the SEC West. And that could be changing. It could be tilting a little bit more toward Mississippi State. But when I was in school, and I still think so now, Arkansas was the worst team in the SEC West.
Gabriel is up next. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Gabriel.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, just my question is about this. If with Oklahoma and Texas coming to the SEC, and then if they somehow bring in Ohio State and Clemson and form this big super conference, why would there be a need to play any of the other conferences in a non-conference schedule when basically we are the playoffs? There would be no need for a 12-team playoff because most of the teams are going to come from the super SEC conference.
So I hear what you're saying. It's almost like every single conference it's like the NCAA basketball tournament, and every conference is one of those regions. Thank you for your call, Gabriel. I think it's a great call. Every conference is one of those regions, right? So then couldn't we just pick those four teams and go with it? And I'm going to tell you what the answer is. The money.
Yeah.
That's the answer. They want to play more games so they can make more money.
Which is the exact reason why this is even happening in the first place.
So baseball, for example, remember we talked about whether or not Texas and Oklahoma, like we talked about how, do any people that are fans of the SEC actually want these teams in their conference? And I have not met a single person that I know who likes the SEC who said yes.
We've had several texters of fans of different teams, whether it's Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Arkansas, whatever. They all hate it.
And I would argue that this is not about the fans. In baseball, for example, the designated hitter rule, last year, universal designated hitter, everybody liked it. This year, no designated hitter. Why? Because they want to hold that back as a negotiating chip, the owners do, to get an expanded playoff. Do we need more playoff teams in baseball? Like, do we really need more playoff teams? No.
No.
No. We don't. We don't need more playoff teams. So why are we getting more playoff teams? We're hurting the game this year in baseball in order to get more playoff teams in next year. Why do we need more playoff teams? We don't. So why are we getting them? Because of the money. So why are we getting 12 teams? Because of the money. And you know what? It's not my money to get or not get. I understand it. But I'm against it. Like, if I could vote against it, I would vote against it.
It's not a logical change in my mind. College football, I mean, you could argue that its popularity has declined over the years, but it's not anything that people are asking for. Money is the only logical reason why.
So I would argue on top of that, that they don't even care if it hurts the sport. Like, when baseball does things that hurt its sport, I don't think they care anymore.
And I think they care when they lose money.
Right. But hurting your sport is not the same as losing money. Baseball makes a ton of money.
Right.
The NBA makes a ton of money. They consistently hurt their sport. So I want to get to this. The NHL entry draft is tonight. So last night, yesterday, I should say, I was on the conference call with David Poile. We all know, you know, David Poile says he knows more than I do, and it's all discussion, whatever. So I actually want to pull this up. So I figured they said on Saturday, after the Ryan Ellis trade, David Poile had a press conference. David Poile said, I can't talk about the expansion draft because we haven't submitted the list yet, or we've submitted the list, but we haven't made it public, so I can't answer any questions about it. So they said in that conference call that David would be available on Wednesday or Thursday after the expansion draft. So I figured that that availability would be for the expansion draft. Then they send out a release that says that David Poile, assistant GM and director of scouting Jeff Kelty, and chief amateur scout Tom Nolan will be available via Zoom ahead of this weekend's NHL draft. So I'm going to be honest with you. All of the questions that mattered, and you and I both know this, were the ones that I asked, or Joe asked an interesting question. That
Robbie asked a good question.
Robbie, but they weren't draft questions. You know, the draft questions were, you know, the local pom-pom waving Bobos who were like, yay, I get to talk to the GM. And so they asked those questions. And by the way, I would say this. They got really mad at me when I said that about them like 4 years ago when they picked Chicago to beat the Predators and I called them fanboys. Just look at their Twitter accounts yesterday. Just look at it yesterday and that'll tell you all you need to know. Tell you all you need to know. It's neither here nor there. So, the draft's tonight. I do not care about the NHL draft and what the Predators do at 19 unless they swing some mega trade that transforms the team, transforms the roster, unless they do something like that, I don't care. Like, I understand that they, you know, you want people to watch the entry draft and, you know, it's your team and it's, but like last year they took a kid in the top 10 that they sent to Russia for 3 years. What? 2 years ago, I remember this like it was yesterday. 2 years ago, which was a little bit more than 2 years ago, but Ian was out on paternity leave because they had just had May. And Floyd and I were at somewhere in Cool Springs, and there was like a draft party that night, a Preds draft party. And I remember thinking to myself, do people like go out to watch the NHL draft? It's like the MLB draft. Now, we know a little bit more about it because there's college kids that we see that go into it. But like the NFL draft and the NBA draft are a big deal because those kids go and play right away. The Predators are picking 19th. The Predators picked Philip Tomasino. He might be good. He might not be good. I don't know. Just like they picked Dante Fabbro a handful of years ago. He might be good. He might not be good. I don't know. Just like they picked Tolvanen. He might end up being good. I don't know. Like, so the draft is tonight. But I can't get excited about it because they're going to take some kid from Switzerland that I've never seen before, and he's going to be, you know, playing in the ECHL or in juniors or whatever, and 3 years from now, he might go to Milwaukee, and then he'll play, and then he'll, like, I'm sorry. Am I the only one who just lacks complete buzz? Complete buzz about this draft tonight.
I kind of feel the same way.
Unless David swings a mega trade, which I don't think he will.
If David Poile swings a mega trade, then yeah, 100%, I am interested. Because then you see the fruits of their labor right now.
Sure. Do you think there's any chance they pull a mega trade?
I think there's a chance. Do I think it's going to happen? No.
I don't think they pull a mega trade either.
I think there's a chance.
So Elliot Friedman was on the Midday Show earlier this week, and he said he thinks that they're going to go after Landeskog from Colorado.
Yes, I saw that.
And I heard that, and I thought to myself, you know what that is? That is what they've been doing. That is signing a B-level player who is in his prime, maybe towards the end of his prime.
I don't think Landeskog is a B-level player.
Oh, he's definitely a B-level player. He's totally a B-level player.
Like, why? Because he's
not Crosby, he's not Ovechkin, he's not McKinnon, he's not McDavid, he's not...
Then do you want the Predators to go out and get Nathan McKinnon?
No, but the Predators need to figure out a way to go get a big boy forward. He ain't one of them. Landeskog is the exact same as signing Matt Duchene. You're going to put all your eggs in his basket. He's not that caliber of player. He's never been that player. He's not that player.
He had 20-something goals this past season.
Great. Great. 20 goals. Great.
More than 20. 26, 27.
That is not... He is... McKinnon on that line is an A-level player. Boston, for example, has an entire line of A-level players. Landeskog is not an A-level player. This is how this works. This is why Colorado's not going to pay him the money. Because he's a B-level player.
What is he making? 5.5?
I don't know. He's probably going to go for 8. You know, he's probably going...
For 8? Absolutely not.
He is going to sign a big deal. And this is my point. It's the exact same as the Matt Duchene thing. And Matt Duchene was a B-level player the whole time. He was a B-level player. He was never, and people got in their minds he was an A-level player, but he wasn't. So they're going to sign Landeskog, and I shouldn't get worked up about this because I have a rule that is you can't get mad at somebody for something they haven't done yet.
That's
so fair. They haven't signed Landeskog yet. But he's a B-level player. And you sign a B-level player to A-level money, and then you get B or less level results, and then everybody gets mad. So it's the same as what they've been doing.
For the third time in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, the Johansson thing was a little different. I mean, that I actually
don't. At least
don't,
for the second time in a couple of years.
I just don't bang on them on the Johansson thing like I would everything else. But yeah, like when they extended Ryan Ellis, now they gave him B-level money, but they gave him the length of an A-level player. That you cannot do that. You cannot sign a third wide receiver to second wide receiver money. He's still a third wide receiver. And I look at Landeskog and I'm like, look, he's not a needle mover. He's a good player. He's not an A-level player. You know, that's what you need. You need an A-level player. And I don't know how you get one, but you need one. Adam's up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Quickly, thank you for calling. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, man. So I kind of agree with you. Like, you know how big of a Preds fan I am. I've been calling you for 4 years about them. But I worry that I won't see the player that I'm excited about for 3 or 4 years. And that's so boring. It's the same thing with the big Russian goalie. I've been so excited to see him. And I don't even know where the hell he is, man. So, yeah, it sucks. I mean, I just can't get fired up for draft night.
Yep, thank you, Adam. I struggle with it.
I mean, I kind of feel the same way about the MLB draft. I care a little bit more about the MLB draft because it's I know these guys. I watch them in college. But the kids who get drafted out of high school, and I look at some of these players who are getting drafted that I know I won't see them in an MLB uniform for the next couple of years. So I feel similar to the MLB in that way, too, that there's no satisfaction in, oh my gosh, this team is drastically different because they drafted this guy. We're going to immediately see him on the field or on the ice.
Caroline's is next. 615-737-1025. Fireball Cinna Whiskey goes down so smooth and tastes so great. There is no better way to ignite the night than ice cold Fireball Cinna Whiskey. I absolutely love Fireball. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. Celebrate your weekend by igniting the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Breaking news, Chris Johnston of Sportsnet reports Seth Jones is being traded from the Columbus Blue Jackets to the Chicago Blackhawks. So guess what? The Predators drafted him fourth overall. They traded him for Ryan Johansson. The Predators fans don't love Ryan Johansson anymore, and they'll get to watch Seth Jones a bunch playing with the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm not sure that that's going to go over all that
way. I don't think they love that.
I'm starting to feel bad for Johansson, honestly.
Why?
Well, I think it's a couple of reasons. First off, I think the first thing is, like, I think Johansson is probably better than people give him credit for. Like, I do think he's a good hockey player. And then the second thing is, I think sometimes maybe they just take his, like, his just natural, cool, calm demeanor as to, like, that he doesn't
care.
As,
like, I don't care.
Yeah, and I don't think that's the case.
I don't think so either.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm starting to be on Johansson's side. All right, time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman & Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
6-7-2 for yours truly. 6-7-2 for Caroline.
Oh, spicy.
So it's a big one.
Tonight's a big night. We've got Royals and Tigers tonight. Now, this feels weird saying this, but I'm going to take the Tigers on the money line at -115. The Tigers are absolutely red hot. They are on a 7-game win streak. Willie Peralta is on the mound for the Tigers. He's 3-1 with a 1.64 ERA in 6 starts. On the other hand, lefty Chris Bubik is on the mound for the Royals. He's 2-4 with a 5.03 ERA and 8 starts. Now, the Tigers traditionally do not play very well against lefties, but I think they've got a lot of momentum going in there. I like their pitching better in this pitching matchup. So give me the Tigers, -115.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Tigers, too. The Royals are terrible. I mean, the Royals are one of the worst teams in baseball. I mean,
Tigers were.
No, the Tigers have gotten themselves out of being terrible.
Yeah.
Now, they still stink, but, I mean, the Royals are.
They've earned a little bit more of my respect. We've also got a couple new events going on this weekend. New as in things we don't normally pick. This weekend, we have a UFC fight. Corey Sandhagen and TJ Dillashaw. I'm going to take Sandhagen to win it, -185. Sandhagen is 14-2. He's got no losses by knockout, but he has 6 wins by knockout. Dillashaw, 16-4, 8 knockouts, 2 losses. But I'm taking Sandhagen because Dillashaw has not been in the cage since 2019. He turned 35 in February. So his age combined with his inexperience in the past couple of years, I'm going to go with Sandhagen. Sandhagen, on the other hand, has fought 5 times since Dillashaw was last in the cage.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but I can't pick Dillashaw after what you just said.
Yeah,
so I'll go Sandhagen.
Also 5'6", so Sandhagen's 5'11". We also have New Zealand women versus USA women Saturday, and the UFC fight is Saturday night. We have New Zealand and USA women on Saturday. The U.S. women's national team was the favorite by far, -165 for the Olympic gold medal, and that has drastically gone down after their 3-0 loss to Sweden. But I think it's going to be a comeback. I think that the USA women were so frustrated after that loss. It was the first loss in 44 games and the heaviest loss since 2007. I think they're going to get it together. New Zealand is a pretty good team. They also lost their first game against Australia. Australia is a very good team. They only lost by 1 goal. But give me the comeback. USA, baby.
Yeah, I'm with you on USA. She believes. I still believe in this team. I still think we'll win the gold medal. I'm going to take the Blue Jays tonight with Steven Matz going up against the Mets. Matz is got a 4.43 ERA, which isn't as good as Trevor McGill's 2.63, and the game is in the Big Apple. But I just believe in the bats. The bats of the Blue Jays. Give me the Blue Jays. Mets are minus 115. I'll take the underdog Blue Jays tonight.
Give me the Mets. Who did you say is on the mound for the Mets tonight?
Trevor McGill.
Give me the Mets.
I'm going to go with the Blue Jays. I had to pick one where you would pick the other side. Because all of these, like, how am I supposed to pick a guy who hadn't fought in 2 years?
Well, that's your choice.
I picked the underdog last time,
and you thought I was bamboozling you.
I just want there to be, you know, something there. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. Moneyline, Ryan Porth, Chase McCabe, and Caroline Finn. How'd you work your way onto that show?
Well, you know, when you're a star, people just ask you to do things.
Clearly. We're out of here. We're back Monday at 2. Everybody have a safe weekend. We will see you Monday at 2. Training camp next week.